Baltimore, Marilyn Dennis, and Jamar. Wake up! I love this show.
Chum 104.5.
Good morning, Chum. Hi, what's your name?
Judy.
Judy, you're Chum number one. What's going on in your world today?
I deliver newspapers.
You deliver newspapers where, Judy?
Out in the country in King Township.
Really? So you drive, 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 concession road, make a right,
Boy, do I ever. And right now, these concession roads are an absolute mess.
I bet you there is still a lot of snow and slush and all that stuff.
Well, no, now it's potholes, like washboard.
What, do you drive a truck? Do you drive a truck?
An SUV.
All right. And then sometimes when you go up, there's some houses, I'm sure, that are fenced off. You got to throw that newspaper there. Is it covered in plastic?
Oh yeah, in a bag.
Right. So any Dobermans chasing after you as you're getting back into your SUV?
I don't even get out of my vehicles. All country.
Your right hand must be, left hand must be awesome.
You know what? Both hands. Because they have to use both hands. One out one side of the car, one out the other side.
Wait a minute. You throw the paper out the right-hand side of the window with the window open?
Yep.
And you make it through the window?
Yep.
And
right into the middle of the driveway.
You should try up for the Jays.
I've been doing this for so many years.
Well, Judy, awesome. And what paper are you delivering?
All four dailies.
Boy, what would they do?
The Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, the National Post, and the Toronto Sun.
So what happens if you're not well? Who takes over for you?
Nobody.
Ah.
Not well, you go anyways. I had the flu this year. I was down for 2 weeks with the flu, and I was there every night.
Yeah, that's
dying, but I was out here.
You'd be a great radio person. Judy, thank you for being Chum number one, and have a great day. Thank you. It's so good to talk to you.
You too.
Wow, the things that people do in the morning, huh?
I know.
That's four newspapers. She's got to remember which it's the Globe and Mail or National Post. And she's got to, like, zero in and target on that driveway.
She's got a cannon for an arm is how I imagine this.
Right? Can you imagine her going down those concession roads going, okay, there's Mr. and Mrs. Smith's house. Right through the window.
Like, if I'm throwing a cherry pit out the right window, I usually hit the inside of the car.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. Let's hear it for Judy.
Woo!
You are something else. You have joined the rest of the people that have been Chum number one. Some people are, they deliver insulation. We've had a couple of pastry chefs, customer service, and a pipe and tube person. I won't go any further than that. You know, all the things that people have to do these days. It's not like bragging rights or anything, but, you know, multitasking is a little bit questionable right now. You know, some people do it okay, but not all of us do it well. And they're saying that we become less productive if we do that because our brain can only handle
it's like
so much.
Do one thing and do it well. It's that kind of mentality that's totally gone by the wayside because now everyone has to do so many things.
It's hurting your brain.
I believe this. I can feel my brain physically saying, ow, stop adding things for me to do.
A study from Stanford University where they let rich people in without having sport to belong to or... Did you hear what I just said?
Oh, yeah. Stanford. I caught the shade.
You caught the shade. They found that multitasking is less productive than doing one thing at a time. In fact, research has found that people who are bombarded with a lot of electronic stimuli have trouble focusing. I get that. Recalling information? Yes. And switching from one job to another compared to those who complete one task at a time. And in addition to making you less productive, everyone, multitasking lowers your IQ.
Yeah.
So when they did all these cognitive tests, it's like, you know, they saw the decline in IQ scores.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I know that I feel like I do a couple of things really well. Adding to that, it gets questionable.
Yeah.
Like my text that I send to you guys. You have to have a translation.
Yes.
Well, because you also dictate into your phone. So
I do.
So I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
But then also you're doing so many things at once that you have to be quick and to the point. And it's anyone you know who is extremely busy, who's doing five things at once all the time. I notice that, you know, the emails I get from them, one line. Because they just have too much going on.
Okay, and so there's no emotion in that. There's no thank you so much for that. And then now we talk about, you know, when they were talking about these declines in the IQ scores for those cognitive tests. They said it's like someone who has smoked pot or stayed up all night. That's how bad it's getting. And I'm thinking about, yeah, I can see that. But with the work world the way it is, we are merging so many tasks that things are not only not done well, they're not done at all or to the completion.
Mm-hmm.
So little nuances are missed, which are really important, don't you think?
Yeah,
I think so. And I definitely think, and I don't know if everyone in other industry feels this way, but social media has become, you know, a second, third, fourth job for many people because it's important that you're there and that you're visible and that you are where people want you to be, which is on their phone. But it's a whole new job.
Yeah, it is a new job. And I say, you know, we've got this job at Chum.
Yeah.
I've got the TV show. We all have more than, I mean, I'm just saying what I have. And this social media thing is my third show. Oh, I'm a mother and a wife.
Yes.
I am, you know, and I'm a coworker. I mean, we all say that. I was talking to my hairstylist this weekend, and she was saying, dear Claire, you know, you have to be on with people all the time, but you also have to be recognize how stressed they are. She finds that a lot of her clients are more and more stressed because of this multitasking thing.
Oh, this absolutely makes so much sense to me, and I do think it makes it harder and harder for you to focus and to complete your tasks well. I really believe this.
With the change of the seasons, do you find yourself a little bit, you know, kind of craving certain things a little bit more than others? Like, do you crave more chocolate? Do you crave more? Do you feel that a little bit?
I don't know that I crave things more, but I feel guilty when I eat them because I know that beach season is coming. And so now's the time where I'm thinking, okay, I've got to create my, you know, summer look now.
Yeah.
Like, I need to prepare now because I've been layering up all winter long and my food decisions are reflective of that.
Well, a recent survey down south of the border said, if you know, they feel guilty about 30% of the food that they eat. That's 30%.
Wow.
Where do we go wrong? Snacks.
Yes.
That's where we go wrong. So according to the top five most guilt-inducing foods, we'll start with number five and then we'll work our way up to number one. Number five, 40% say the food guilt is potato chips.
Yep, that's one for sure. Yeah. Check.
Kate, tell me what potato chips.
I like the Miss Vicky's jalapeno.
See? Tom, what about you?
Plain Miss Vicky's.
Okay, salt and vinegar.
Yep.
Miss Vicky's for the win.
Yep.
Do you hear us, Miss Vicky's?
Tom, I thought you were a cheddar herb guy. Just saying.
Oh, okay. Not at all.
You're original. Alrighty.
Yep. There's about 250 calories in the small bag of Miss Vicky's. Mm-hmm. I know that because I'm on that 1,300 calorie a day thing. cookies, 42% at number four.
Oh my gosh, cookies are cookies. That's mine. That's my number one. Number one for
is
me.
It what kind?
Chocolate chip, classic chocolate chip. And there is
it the President's Choice chocolate chip?
Nope, those it's called good. Tate's. It's a company called Tate's, and they make extra
I know
crispy.
They're really
thin
in the green bag.
Yep.
You fold it up with the two little tabs on the side, you know that you're going to open it up as soon as you fold it up.
I'm eating two. The second I open it, it's two. It's never one.
You know, here's the problem. I can't eat just one of those. And that's why I don't buy them. Number three, at 3%, candy.
Just candy?
Nah.
No.
No, it's 43%,
Okay.
Number two, chocolate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait.
Okay.
Can I play it?
Yeah.
Can I play the intro for number one?
Yes.
Wait.
In Toronto, it's number one.
Ice cream at 46%.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Ed's Real Scoop is I can see it from my balcony, basically, and I know I want their French mint.
I'm not an ice cream. Well, I like mint chocolate chip.
Oh, it's so good.
But I have to tell you, let's go back to number two. I'm not a big chocolate fan until I met this Canadian company. I haven't met them in person. It's called Good Earth. It's gluten-free, nut-free, this free, that free. I'm sure it's not calorie-free. They have a fudge cake, guys. That has to be refrigerated. You can get it in a box. See, that I would eat in a sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So they sell these little packages, Tom. They're like this big.
Yeah.
They have their little fudge cakes. They've got carrot cake. They've got walnut brownies. Oh. But I scooped up every fudge cake I could find yesterday at the grocery store because people are onto it. And if I buy the big cake, I'll eat the whole thing.
And Marilyn, I hate to break it to you, but they also make a double chocolate cookie. Like the dough is chocolate and chocolate chips inside of it. And it's just as good as the fudge brownie.
Damn you.
I know.
What's number one again?
Ice cream.
Number one.
Wow, that I felt that down to my ankles.
Do it.
Yeah. What's trending in Toronto with Caitlin Green?
Let me know.
two ongoing trending stories have updates today. The black box from the Ethiopian Airlines crash is being analyzed, but some data has been pulled successfully, and it does show clear similarities between that crash and the deadly Lion Air crash in Indonesia. So don't expect that grounding order on the Boeing 737 MAX 8 planes to be lifted anytime soon. And in New Zealand, 50 people have lost their lives now in that terror attack last week, 30 still in hospital. That number could have been a lot higher at the second mosque that the shooter targeted if it weren't for an incredible man named Abdul Aziz, originally from Afghanistan, living in New Zealand. He was at the mosque with his four sons, and he ran towards the gunshots and confronted the gunman with a credit card machine. You know, he grabbed a credit card machine. Like, think of the Moneris machines you see when you pay for things at stores. Yeah. He grabs one of these, throws it at him. He tries to lure him into the parking lot. He's ducking. He's weaving. He grabs a gun that the guy drops. He throws it at the car. He scared him away.
Wow.
A real hero.
That is so impressive. What a hero.
Yeah, the New Zealand government already looking at new gun laws, paying for the victims' funerals, and offering financial assistance to the families of the victims. Incredible show of leadership and unity from this country. Really sticking together following this attack. So you're going to hear some more stories about this guy, I think, throughout the week. But, oh, what a hero. Now, big issues on the TTC here in Toronto this morning. So Line 2, Bloor Danforth, there's no service between St. George and Woodbine. There's a police investigation happening at Broadview. And because of the police activity at Broadview Station, that whole area is actually shut down right now. So if that's your station, you want to go to the next nearest one. Maybe take an Uber, maybe take a Lyft this morning. Take a look at traffic before you head in.
Extra time needed.
Extra time needed. And as we pointed out earlier, this is the first day back after March break.
Yeah, this is a lot of stuff going on for everyone going to work today.
There is. And also make sure you check your flight status. There was a fire at Terminal 1 Pearson that sort of had some major delays yesterday. People were evacuated. Impact ingoing and outgoing flights. So just take a look at Pearson's website. They're very up to date.
So that was it last night, right? That happened?
That was last night, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the Junos are trending. They were last night in London, Ontario. Boy, this was an incredible night showcasing Canadian talent. Loud Luxury from London, Ontario. So pretty cool that they ought to open the show with their hit Body. Bulo won Breakthrough Artist. The Arkells won Group of the Year.
Yay! Way to go, Max!
Oh, God, love Max. Jesse Reyes took home Best R&B Recording. So really, it was such a cool night to see the wide variety, something for everybody when it comes to music in Canada right now. In every genre, you have so much talent. And Sting was in town. He's here for The Last Ship, of course. And
he said he thought he was going to London, England. Whoops!
Whoopsie.
Go the other way.
Close. Yeah. Train, not a plane.
Yeah.
And Sarah McLachlan did a wonderful job hosting as well.
She looks great. She is fit. She is in a great spot in her life.
Yeah.
And I said to her a couple of years ago, why are you so fit? I'm very jelly. She said, well, I got a dog.
Yeah.
And I walk the dog every day, and sometimes I go out to Grouse Mountain.
Now, I've gone up Grouse Mountain in Vancouver
before.
That's
not easy.
I took the little tram thingy. I did not walk it. So this explains why she looks so great.
Did you get a chance to see the Junos last night? Talk about, like you say, Caitlin, a variety pack of cereal of different types of music. And the awards are so big. They gave out some awards before the telecast, which I thought, some big ones.
I think it was even the night before. Yeah.
The night before. So I thought, then I got confused. I thought, oh my gosh, they missed the Junos.
Yes.
I realized it was Sunday night. But you know, so many of our talent from Canada are so talented that they're out on the road right now, like Shawn Mendes.
Yep.
That's why he could be there in London.
That's right. Shawn pre-taped a performance. I think it was In My Blood.
Yeah.
And it was outstanding.
Yeah. And of course, he never, ever disappoints. What else did you see last night, Tom?
Well, Loud Luxury opened, and they did Body, of course.
Uh-huh.
But then they brought the Western University marching band to help them out.
Oh,
it was really good.
Did you get, it's like chills?
It's just a big sound, right?
I love it. And
putting a dance hit with a marching band, and them hitting those perfect punctuations with the brass and the drums.
The first time that's happened was Fleetwood Mac and Tusk.
That's right. I remember that. That's right. They did that.
Tusk was a terrible song, but when they put the marching band with it, it was great. Yes.
There are so many viral videos of marching bands covering pop hits.
Yeah.
I think of the one Crazy in Love by Beyonce covered by a marching band. Wow. That was so good.
And you know, it's fun for those that are in marching band or I was a pom-pom person. But anyway, it's so fun to choreograph and be. And everyone, when they're sitting in the stands, because that's the deal. They want you to stay in the stands to see the show. Mm-hmm. It gets everybody excited. Wow, look at those guys.
I think there should be a pop, like a marching band that just covers pop songs at Pride or at one of the big parades in Toronto.
All right.
I would love that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, Pride's coming up.
I'm putting it out there.
All right.
Arkell's one group of the year. We love them. We love Max.
Oh.
What else? Oh, closing the show. Well, first of all, they presented Corey Hart with the Hall of Fame. And he did a great speech.
Great.
And I believe he met his now wife, Julie Masse, at the Junos many years ago. So there's
because
a
she was a singer from
story.
Quebec, right?
That's right. And I think he's even recently produced some work for her. They are a lovely couple. They have four kids, I believe, three girls and one boy.
One of them is a singer, his oldest daughter, who's gorgeous and talented.
He is so gracious, and he stepped away about 1998 just to focus on his family.
Yeah,
and you know, some people you don't believe it when they say that,
but he really did.
But boy, you really believe it when he said it.
He's still so good.
He is good. Do we want to hear him?
Sure. This is him at the end of the night doing songs.
Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah, he's so good. I love Corey Hart. Congratulations to Corey Hart. And, you know, our friend Jan Arden's got a new show coming out on CTV.
Yeah.
She's going to drop by Wednesday morning to talk to us. But, of course, I follow her on Twitter. And she says, after tonight, this is about the Junos, I will have only lost 14 times to the Junos.
I love
that. But that's okay, Jan. You know, I mean, you've got a TV show with your name on it. That's not bad.
She's got a lot going on.
So that was a great night. We celebrate Canadian music. I don't know where it's going to be next year.
Saskatoon.
Oh my gosh, that's fun.
That's what I love about it
is that they move the Junos all over the country.
And you talk about how an event can take over a city.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the Junos get a little bit lost in Toronto because there's so much going on here.
We're a little bit.
But you put it in a slightly smaller spot or in a much smaller spot like Saskatoon, and they go bananas, and it's great.
You know what? I got to see the last one in Calgary. Calgary, you know, such a great and friendly town. I had a blast. It was just everybody was participating in it. So I'm glad that we do that. That's for sure.
Just want to give a shout out to a former chummer by the name of Jesse King. He goes by the name of Dub Maddox now.
Okay.
And he won Best Reggae Recording of the Year.
What?
He used to, when I was on vacation, he used to fill in for me. That was many years ago. But Jesse King, Way to go, Jesse. I messaged him on Facebook last night, said, dude, is this you? And he was so happy and really honored to have won that Juno.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's that time. It's Tyrone with entertainment from eTalk. Go ahead, Tyrone.
I love that sound.
I do too.
All right, so I'm back and we're talking about this, the Varsity Blues scandal.
Yeah.
Now, Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin are named in a $500 billion lawsuit. If you are driving while you're listening to this right now, you heard me correct. $500 billion. Now, Jennifer Kay Toy is looking for $500 billion in damages, claiming that her son was denied a spot as a result. She filed a class action suit in San Francisco. This only happened on March 13th. So, yes, her son had a 4.2 GPA.
Did everything right. They don't have any money.
No.
But he's like a super excellent student.
Yes. $500 billion is what I said.
Is this a case of they're trying to, like, they go for this amount and then assume that if we go high, we'll get a settlement, like, more in the middle?
Here's the thing. I have no experience with you know, the law system and all that. But right away, that's exactly what I see.
It sounds ridiculous.
And I want her son to get justice, and I want her to get justice. But $500 billion?
Yeah. Half a trillion?
They'll settle for $500.
Yeah.
But we'll settle for a coupon.
Will she see any money? Because she has no money.
Yeah.
So is she going to pay the lawyers? That's why they went big.
Right. They went big.
The thing with the scandal is they're also digging up these old videos.
The videos that don't age well.
Yeah.
Now, listen, in the day and time where we all record ourselves doing everything.
Yeah.
And you have to be very mindful of what you say. But then again, they're speaking the truth.
So tell me about these old videos. Who found these old videos?
So Olivia Jade, which is the daughter.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's really, really going after her. And this is because she's flaunted that she didn't really care about school. She joked that her her classmates probably forgot that she even went there.
Okay.
Oh. And
this is Lori Loughlin's daughter.
This is Lori Loughlin's daughter. And so now that video is being resurfaced.
I didn't even
and,
go to high school.
I didn't really care.
Yeah. And she did a lot of her videos from her dorm room, which is gorgeous, by the way.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's bad too.
Not only her, but William H. Macy. Also, there's a video that resurfaced of him saying that nepotism works when trying to give his kids a one-up, and he said he's proud of it. He said, hey, if I can give my kids a leg up, I'm going to do it. And this video resurfaces.
Oh, man, that's not good.
So,
there's no real debate in this. I mean, this is just a matter of us finding more and more about
to substantiate what's happening. Yeah, you got that right.
So I'm going to repeat again, $500 billion class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
But last night was a great night in Canadian music. We had the Junos here in London, Ontario, and our own Chloe Wilde from E-Talk was on the red carpet. We've got tons of coverage tonight on the show, so please tune in for that. My favorite, Shawn Mendes. I just love this guy. He won 5 Junos last night, and he also recorded a pre-recorded performance because he couldn't make it. He's on tour right now, and he asked the crowd to sound Canadian.
To sound Canadian.
he's actually the best. Like, I love him.
Yeah, he's the sweetest.
He's a good person.
I had a chance to interview him, and just, like, the nicest, warmest, like, most intelligent person, and he did a secret session with us, and seeing him live, he's so incredible live, so talented, great work ethic, like, just can't say enough good stuff.
I have not met him yet. I can't.
Really?
No, I haven't.
Oh my gosh, you would love him.
Yeah.
You love him. And he's a hugger.
He is a hugger.
He is?
Yeah. I appreciate a hugger. I'm a hugger myself.
Yeah, I know you are. I love that.
Yes. I'm not going to turn down a Shawn Mendes hug, for the record.
All right.
You said what?
I'm not turning down a Shawn Mendes hug.
No, I'm not either. Jamar is back tomorrow. We've got Tyrone still in the room because we want to talk to him about a very important subject. And the important subject is there's cuffing and uncuffing season, and there's a thing called breadcrumbing.
Breadcrumbing.
Okay, so Caitlin, explain to Tyrone about breadcrumbing.
So breadcrumbing is essentially a cute word for leading someone on.
Ooh.
It's when you give them just enough to stay interested. You lead them along, but it's not going anywhere. So you're breadcrumbing them.
Okay, so
I like that term. I don't like that.
Have you done it?
Action. I really hope that I haven't. I'm very forthcoming in terms of, like, whether I'm open to a committed relationship or if I'm just having fun or just looking to, you know, go on a few dates and have some good company.
Yeah, what's happened to dating? You don't have to get right into a relationship.
Why, you know, why do I gotta decide?
You don't have to decide.
No.
What's your status right now?
I think it's important. I'm single, ladies. I'm single, Marilyn. Is that what you said? You can follow me at Mr. One Love T.O.
This is Chum Radio, otherwise known as Chinder.
Chum Tinder.
Chinder.
Okay, so happy uncuffing season. It's still very cold in the country. But spring is coming up this week, I think, you know. And it means it's breakup season.
That means
uncuffing.
Yes.
Tell us more.
This is usually, so I always remembered this from when I was in university, and you had the person you dated throughout the winter, you hung out, and then when summer break happened, you broke things off.
Right.
Because it's a different life in the summer. And I mean, people just, they become homebodies in the winter. They want to stay inside, watch movies, just chill out. And then all of a sudden, the light changes. You've got more hours in the day. There's some spring in the air. People are wearing less clothes.
Oh my God.
And all of a sudden,
I want to do it right now. I want to get into it right now. Now, I tell you something. We have a great friend. His name is Matthew Hussey.
Yes.
Matthew is going out with Camila Cabello, by the way.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And, but he's a relationship guru. He was in this studio about a year ago talking about
breadcrumbing.
It was about breadcrumbing. So, but what I want you to know is not just the definition of breadcrumbing. He explains it so well and how you can be a better you. Go ahead, Matthew.
Here's what we have to do. Firstly, pay attention. If you see someone who is giving you a small amount of investment, that should moderate your attraction for that person.
Mm.
The mistake we make is we say, I'm really attracted to this person and therefore I'm going to invest a lot. And that's a massive, massive problem. them. What we should be doing is saying, I'm going to be as attracted as they are invested. If they don't invest in me, I'm not going to be into them. I always say to someone, like who likes you. Don't like someone based on how, or don't invest based on how much you like someone. Invest based on how much they're investing in you.
Right. Right.
That's the big difference. Yeah. So there's no way to initially screen for this breadcrumber type.
Yeah.
What you do is you invest a little and you test. You invest and you test. You give them a little bit of your time and you see if they reciprocate. Mm. One time you go to their part of town, the next time they come to yours. But what you don't do is keep investing in
right.
a way that allows life to be easy for them, thinking, oh, I'm being low maintenance. I'm just being easy and fun and carefree. That doesn't work. All it does is show someone they don't have to try.
That's Matthew Hussey, who's a relationship guru. You can see him on MatthewHussey.com or something like that. He gives, like, if you, he's your best girlfriend. When you're having a breakup or you don't know what's going on.
So Tyrone is deep in thought
you're
right
so
now.
You're so deep
his
in
facial
thought.
Expression, like, what do you think
so,
about this?
Yeah.
I agree with a lot of what he said, but I don't think it should ever be so calculated.
Yeah.
I don't.
I agree.
I don't ever think it should ever be so calculated. I don't think you should invest a little and then see what you get.
But isn't that dating anyway?
Nah, it depends on how you choose to date. You know? And that's where I don't work with people. Like, I'm a hippie, so I'm based on the energy. So if I have to give a little more for a little bit longer, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what about the chivalry? What about the courting? What about,
yeah.
you know, my effort is going to be based on, you know, how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And not just based on what you do. Because people come around and we build. You grow, you...
It takes time.
But
don't you feel
you should,
but I also want to say this, Tom. You know when they're not invested in you.
100%.
He's saying, don't continue on with
I
it.
I agree. That's
and that's
agree.
What I like about
I
the clarity
that,
of that, because we think it's going to get better when it's not going to get better.
It's that yin-yang. Sometimes when somebody pulls away, you're more attracted to them.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Why we're like that.
The one thing I'll never do again is convince someone to like you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you go wrong.
And you know what, you guys? I had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine this week, and we're a little bit older than all of you in this room. And it doesn't matter if you're 17 or whatever the decade you're in, it still is the same. And mm-hmm. why invest when someone doesn't really think that you're, you know.
Yeah, if your goal ultimately is to be in a relationship
sure.
with that person, then
yeah.
you don't want to be doing all the heavy lifting because you're just setting a precedent for something that you yeah. probably don't want.
Anymore. Marilyn Dennis and Jamar.
Oh, wake up!
I love this show.
Chum 104.5.